Well, this morning, we're going to be jumping into a brand new teaching series called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. How many of you would like to have the ability to make better decisions in your life, all right? No, if you don't want that, then I feel sorry for you. But yes, we all want to be able to make better decisions, don't we? And the whole idea behind this message is the fact that Jesus not only saves us for eternity, but he also shows us how to live our best life right now. And one of the things I love about the Bible is not only is it true in terms of our faith and our beliefs, it's also practical. It shows us how to live. And one of the great books in the Bible that gives us so much life instruction is the book of Proverbs. So every week our messages are going to come out of the book of Proverbs. This morning we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And we're going to be answering the question this morning, how can I know the will of God? How can I hear from God better? How can I know what God wants me to do? Okay? When you think about it, life is all about decisions. Every day, we make hundreds of decisions. Now, many of those decisions are going to be kind of inconsequential, but every day, you're going to make a few decisions that you want to get right, for sure. And then, of course, occasionally in life, you're going to come up against a huge decision that's literally going to change the course of your life. So the ability to hear from God and make good decisions, super, super important for us. A couple of weeks ago, on the 4th of July, Janice and I did something that we hadn't done for years and years, and that is we combined with Pastor Roger and Teresa, and we went out on the Rogue River and went rafting. Yeah. Done it before, but it had been a long, long time. And so it was a pretty easy float. You start up there at the fish hatchery and come down to Shady Cove, not a difficult area. And so just before we kind of set off in our raft, I asked the guy that, you know, took us up there, I said, so what do we need to know? And he said, all you need to know is go left, left, right, middle. So, you know, go left when you first get out of here. At the first island, take a left. At the second island, take a right. The rest of the time, you want to stay in the middle. Sounds easy enough, right? We got the first left, right. But we came to that first island, and sure enough, none of us could remember if it was supposed to be left or right. No, I think it was left. I think it was right. We couldn't remember. So then we thought, well, we'll just follow whatever everybody else is doing. But we look up there, and some people are going to the left, and some people are going to the right. They're just as confused as us. So in the end, it was kind of a coin toss, right? And I don't know if we went the right way or not. We obviously didn't drown, so it all turned out okay. The reality is, you know, in that section of the river, probably didn't matter a whole lot in terms of our personal safety if we went left or right. But imagine, if you will, you know, you're out there in a raft on a lot more difficult river, right? You're going to want to know. You're going to want to know. And in my case, I'm not only going to want to know, I'm going to be in a raft with a river guide that's going to know where to go, right? So the good thing in life is this: God gives us a guide. He is our guide, right? And we don't have to guess, because God promises that he is going to guide us and give us direction. And so that's what this psalm is all about, our proverb rather. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Okay? Such a great foundational understanding of God's word, of how God leads us and directs us in life. To just give a little more texture to this verse, I also want to read it out of the Message translation, where it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. I like that. So this just like lays out in such an easy way to teach. I'm actually going to go back to the NIV, but in determining God's will, in determining what God wants us to do, the Proverbs gives us three things here right in a row. And so we're just going to walk through those three things. First of all, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your what? With all your what? All your heart. Interesting, right? Because typically when we're talking about how to know something, how to know what the right thing to do is, we're thinking about knowledge and understanding and being smarter. How can I make more intellectual decisions? But apparently, according to God, true wisdom begins with the heart. Interesting. If you really want to know the will of God for your life, it starts not with your head, it starts with your heart. Often, when we think about knowing God's will, we're wanting to know what our best option is. We've got option A, we've got option B, what's the best way to go? But God, while he certainly cares about our decisions, God is much more interested in the bigger things of our life, primarily where our heart is, where our heart is. What are we supposed to do with all of our heart? Trust, okay? Trust. Trust in the Lord. The Bible never once says figure it out. But on many occasions, it says trust God, right? So trust in the Lord with all your heart, because guess what? God's already got it figured out. He's already done the figuring for you, right? Proverbs 16:10 says, whoever gives heed to instruction and prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. The word trust here means to throw yourself completely on the Lord. And it's this bigger idea, the biblical concept of lordship, that it's Jesus who's calling the shots in my life, and I'm gonna trust him. And so there's a decision right here not to be half-hearted in what we're doing, but to be all in surrendering everything to Jesus. Men, at some point when you were probably 9 or 10 years old, someone probably asked you the question, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? I'll bet not a one of you said, I want to be wishy-washy when I grow up, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, sometimes we have trust issues, right? We have trust issues because things haven't gone the way we wanted them to go in life, or people have let us down, and this trust thing is sometimes easier said than done, to really trust the Lord with all of our heart. I want to give you a few questions to ask yourself whenever you're going through something difficult. And these are great reminders for us. First of all, is God aware of my situation? Secondly, is God wise? Third, is God good? Next, does God love me? And finally, is God willing to guide me? Can you say yes to all those things? Yeah. I'm telling you, if you can trust in the Lord that way and answer those questions, yes, you're going to relieve yourself of a lot of anxiety in life, right? Knowing that we can trust in the Lord. Yeah. So number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two is this, lean not on your own understanding, okay? Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have the ability to understand anything. God does give us wisdom. He wants us to be good thinkers, but he doesn't want us to lean on our own thinking. This is a Hebrew word, buta, which means to have security or confidence in something. And often it's used kind of in a negative sense of people having a false sense of security in something. So we sometimes use the on a broken crutch, right? Don't trust something you shouldn't trust. And so in this case, I'm not depending on my own wisdom when I'm making decisions. I'm asking God to guide me. Now, the Bible gives us several really good reasons for not just trusting in our own wisdom. And I'm going to share those with you. The first one is this: our reasoning is limited. Our reasoning is limited. Isaiah 55:9 says this: as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So our thinking is limited. God's thinking is limitless. We see just part of the picture. God sees the whole picture. We see the here and now, but God sees eternity. We see just one side of the story. God sees all the sides of the story. Amen? So the reason we don't lean just on our own understanding is because we have limited thinking. Even if we're doing our best, we're limited where we serve an unlimited God. Amen? There was a time in our lives we were trying to determine, Janice and I were trying to determine the will of God. I had just resigned as a youth pastor in Seattle, where we had been serving for several years. And we were really feeling led of the Lord to pastor our first church, to be lead pastors. And so this much we knew. We knew God had spoken to us that wherever we went next, we were going to pastor a church. Well, about 2 weeks after we had this conversation and we resigned, I get a call from a pastor of a church in Northern California, a pretty big church. And this pastor, I'm standing in my kitchen on the phone. Janice is just a few feet from me. And this pastor, over the phone, offers me a job. He's good friends with my pastor. And he said, hey, just based on what Pastor Wilson's told me, I'm ready to hire you right now. And then he tells me the salary, which was twice the salary we were making as youth pastors. And man, I was just seeing Northern California. I was seeing the swimming pool. I just knew this had to be God. And so I just said, well, thank you so much for your call. I said, we'll pray about it and call you back. And I hung up the phone. And Janice is just looking at me. And she says, what do you mean we'll pray about it? We've already prayed about it. So I just called him immediately back and said, listen, thank you for the offer, but we're going to have to decline. And so we wound up going to Lincoln City, Oregon, and pastoring our first church. Instead of double the pay, it was less pay than what we were making as youth pastors. But it was a time in our lives that was so valuable as we just grew in the ministry. There were so many people that were saved in those few years that we pastored there. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And by the way, the rest of the story was 6 months after this conversation, this pastor had to be removed from his leadership role in the church because he was misusing funds at the church. So we would have wound up in a hornet's nest. So thank God for the leading of God. And thank God for a wife who knows how to hear. Yes. Our reasoning is limited. Number two, our reasoning is affected by our sin nature. By our sin nature. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Wow. So our sin nature, even though we're saved, we're redeemed, our way of thinking about things is not going to be perfect until Jesus comes back and we become perfect, right? Number three, we don't lean on our own understanding because our reasoning is influenced by the world's fallenness. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So listen to that. There's a pattern in the world. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. So there's a prevailing way of thinking in our world that is not in line with God. In fact, many times it's in direct opposition to God. So don't conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it goes on to say, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right. And then a third reason we don't lean on our own understanding is because our reasoning is tainted with self-interest. Okay, as much as we really don't like that part of us, the reality is we have self-interest that can lead us astray. James chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder. There you find disorder, right? So this is why a lot of times we're not making the right decision. Verse 17 goes on to say, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, this is what we want, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. So that's God's definition of wisdom. So there's four really good reasons that it's a mistake for us to lean on our own understanding. And then Proverbs 28, 26 kind of summarizes this. Those who trust in themselves are fools. Woo! But those who walk in wisdom, here's the good news, are kept safe. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Then number three, in all your ways, submit to him. Okay? In how many of your ways? What percentage would that be? Right? In all your ways, submit to him. Now, the NIV translates this Hebrew word, submit. I got to say, I don't really love that translation. How many of your Bible versions use the word acknowledge? Raise your hand in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Maybe that's the way you memorized it. I got to say, I don't really care for that translation either. Because when I think of the word acknowledge, it means kind of giving someone a nod, you know, just kind of lightly recognizing somebody in a polite way. I don't think that's really captures this word. It's the Hebrew word yada, which means to know, but not just to know intellectually. It means to know intimately, to have a relationship with. And so that's why I love the Message translation here. I'll bring it up again. It says, listen for God's voice. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. If you want to know God's will, you need to learn to listen to God. And listening to God is an acquired skill. An acquired skill. When I was a young person, I remember on television there was this particular commercial that always started off kind of zoomed in on a couple of men or a couple of women. And they'd be having lunch or coffee or something in a restaurant, and the camera's on them, and then one of the people would say to the other one, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and then everything would freeze, the camera would pan out, and everybody in the restaurant will have stopped whatever they're doing, including the waiters and waitresses, and they're all leaning in because they all want to hear what E.F. Hutton says, right? And it was a brilliant commercial. It made you like, what does E.F. Hutton say? You know, you just wanted to know. Well, Jesus said something very similar to that. Not about E.F. Hutton, but about God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Imagine that. This is incredible insight. Jesus is saying that as important as food is to your body, hearing from God is to your soul. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the reality is God does speak. He speaks regularly, and he speaks to us in a lot of different ways. Sometimes God speaks to people with an audible voice. God actually speaks. Now listen, some of you might be thinking, man, if only God would just show up and talk to me, right? Well, that's awesome, but good luck waiting for that, because It's pretty rare. In fact, in the Gospels, there's only two times in all of the Gospels where God's audible voice is heard. Jesus' baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, right? So it's not the typical way that God speaks to us humans, okay? He's more likely to speak to us through his word, the Bible, amen? And by the way, that's the ultimate testing ground for everything that you hear from God. It's the Bible. If you're feeling like God's telling you something, but it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it's not God talking to you. If you have friends telling you something that doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not God talking to you, right? God speaks to us, has spoken to us through his word. He'll also speak to you through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God as born-again believers, and the Spirit of God will speak to us what God wants us to hear. So the inner voice of the Spirit. In a way, creation itself is speaking to us about who God is, right? Creation speaks. The mountains and the heavens, they all speak of the glory of God to us. And God will also use other believers, Christian friends that we trust, that this person hears from God. He will use them in our lives to speak to us. So God will speak in a lot of different ways. So the problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is we're not hearing sometimes. When I was in the eighth grade, my father brought home this old wood console VCA Victor radio, or RCA rather. And I want to say it was probably, you know, built like in the 30s or 40s. It stood about 5 foot off the floor. It was one of those old radios that used tubes. Anybody here remember those? Yeah. And between, I don't know, the tubes and the wood cabinet, this thing had the most beautiful, warm tones to it. I mean, it was amazing to listen to. But as a kid, more important to me than what those deep tones are as they are now, more important to me was the fact that I could almost listen to anywhere in the world. I mean, this radio, especially after like 8 o'clock at night, you know, when, I don't know exactly how that works, but I know, you know, people can use more powerful transmitters or something. But we would listen to people from Texas. We would listen to New York City. Even overseas, this radio would pick up all of these transmissions. It was amazing what you could hear. So I want to ask the question this morning, how can we tune into God better, right? How can we be better at receiving the voice of God in our lives? And I want to give you three things that will help you to hear from God. The first one is time. Time. All healthy relationships take time. They just do. Jesus said this in Matthew 5. He said, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Not much of a reward. "But when you pray," Jesus didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray, "go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Yeah. So basically Jesus is saying here, look, you can pray to impress other people or you can pray to hear from God. Which do you want? Okay. Taking time. Okay. Second thing, kind of goes along with time, but we need to give God our attention. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing something and listening to something? Is that right? Janice reminds me of this quite often. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." They listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So listening is intentional. It's active. It requires intentionality and discipline. Okay, and then the third thing, and this goes along with listening, but it takes quiet. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19 that has to do with the prophet Elijah, who's just gone through some huge trials. And so God sends Elijah off to this solitary place where he's just spending time with God. And then it says, the Lord God said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. All right? And then some amazing things happen. Elijah's standing there near this mountain. Says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Wow. But it says the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, listen, after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. This was the voice of God. When Elijah heard it, he pulled back his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the Lord speaks to Elisha. You know, so many times we're waiting for God to do something big, something obvious, but mostly God is going to speak to you through just a gentle whisper. So you have to train your ear, and I think this is one of the most difficult things about hearing from God in our culture. I think this is something that really takes some work on our part. Because how many of you know, in our world, there's just a lot of background noise, right? We've got telephones and iPads and televisions, and it's a lot of noise. And our attention spans aren't what they used to be. They're just not. And our culture is just like that. Things are changing, moving all the time. And if you want to hear from God, you got to learn how to get quiet. Not only just in terms of distractions, but you got to learn to quiet your heart and quiet your mind. Time. Getting back to the time thing. It takes time to get quiet before God. But guys, it is so worth it. I'm here to tell you this morning, hearing one thing from God changes everything. I mean, hearing what God is trying to say to us, it's so worth it. All right? So this gets back to the payoff here. Proverbs 5, bring it back up, 3 rather, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, submit to him, know him, hear from him, and then what's the payoff? He will make your paths straight. What will God do? God will always do his part, right? He will make your paths straight. Now, this isn't a promise that there's not going to be any challenges on your path of life. It does mean, though, that as we pursue the wisdom of God and the voice of God, we are going to wind up exactly where God wants us to be and exactly where our hearts long to be, right? We're going to get there. We're going to get there as we follow him, as we pursue him. So how many of you this morning would just like in your own life to hear the voice of God more clearly, right? Yeah, I think all of us desire that in our lives. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed before the Lord this morning, I want to start right here. Perhaps you're here this morning and you either don't have a relationship with Jesus at all, or your relationship with Jesus is shaky at best. And I want to tell you this: the starting point for all of this is Jesus. It's Jesus. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So I want to give you the opportunity this morning either to come to Jesus for the first time, to open up your heart to him, or if this is what you need to do, to recommit your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Whether you're here or online, I'm going to ask you to do this with me. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, If today you want to give your life to Christ or recommit your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I say three, okay? And maybe you're brand new to all of this, or maybe you've been going to church for a while, but you just know in your heart you've kind of drifted from that place where you used to be in your relationship with God. And for you, today is a matter of saying, I need to come back to the Lord. I'm going to count to three, and if you want to pray with me to receive Christ or recommit your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand when I say three. One, two, three. Yeah, awesome, awesome. Numbers of you all across this place today. Wow, awesome. Thank you for being so honest. I'm going to wait just another moment. God is calling you. His Holy Spirit is drawing you. Open your heart to Him right now. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Others this morning, God is so good. He's so good. He loves you so much. The only joy, real joy, lasting joy you're going to find in this life is knowing Jesus. Yeah. Anybody else? All right, those of you who've raised your hand, you can put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now, and I'm going to ask the entire church to pray. Probably seven or eight people that have raised their hand this morning. Would you pray with those that have raised their hand? Pray along with me. Father in heaven, I want to know you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins, and I believe you've risen from the dead. Lord, right now, I open the door of my heart. I invite you to come into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash them away. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray for all of you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many of you this morning just say, Tim, I know the Lord. I know the Lord, but I really need to hear from God better in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Just hold it up, leave it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, our desire is to be closer to you, to know you more, to know you better, Lord. God, I pray that you'll help us to do exactly what your word has told us to do, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, to acknowledge you in all of our ways, to pursue you, God. Help us to hear from you, God, more clearly. Lord, help us, God, to get quiet before you, to get quiet, to silence the noise of our world and the noise in our hearts and minds, God, so we can connect with you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's sing a song to the Lord.